So I just want to be clear, that doesn't 100% solve it being preventative, because as adults, we're a little, excuse me, fucked up sometimes.
Excuse me. Why did you say excuse me?
Kathy, have you ever heard the word fuck before? Like, we're all trying to be nice around Kathy.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer and consultant at Pivot 10 Results and founder of Carolina Improv.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, and loan officer with U.S. Mortgage.
The singing lender.
I stopped doing that because I don't have a proper jingle. Again, it's just not that important to me at this time.
Every time I listen to every show, which I always listen to the beginning because I always want to see what Doug pulls from a show for the cold open. It's the same conversation every episode.
The same.
So
need a jingle.
Maybe it should be a contest that our listeners can write it for me.
Yeah. And then we need our jingle. But anyway, we're fine. We could just be ourselves. So excited about this episode with Kathy Redwine, who's a counselor, and she's a licensed counselor. And you know her and you've worked with her. And I work with her in a different capacity, producing her podcast. It was so great having someone on the show that we could talk to about how to talk to kids.
Yes. Kathy is really wonderful at therapy for children, and she's just so knowledgeable about psychology in general. And she gives us some really great tips in this episode of how to deal with what we're going through. And because of the time at this episode, the entire world is in the midst of trying to come to terms with how COVID-19 is affecting us all. And it's definitely got to be affecting the kids, whether they say so or not.
Yeah, and she goes beyond that too. We talk about, you know, everything. Because on our show in particular, we always have moments of talking about the impact on kids about different things, not just COVID and what we're going through. So it was kind of cool to hit on a bunch of different things of how to talk to kids. And I think what resonated the most with me was she talked about confidence. And I think that's such a big deal, especially as women, as we go from little girls into women and where our confidence level is and how do we stand in our value and how that impacts everything. And I love this that she said, if you stay true to yourself, confidence comes from understanding yourself. I was like, boom, that is powerful right there. So that was exciting for me. I'm like going to write that up and put it on my desk to remind myself, because sometimes I don't always have the most confidence.
For sure. I think that we have discussed before that that's kind of our audience. Confident women who sometimes aren't super confident. I mean, you know, in a nutshell.
Yeah, we try to appear that way.
Well, it's important to do our best to be confident, but confidence comes through practice for sure. And I think one of the other great points, what struck me the most about this episode is, and I think this applies to relationships with adults too, and that is one word: listen. If I could listen more and talk less, I'd be in a whole better place for sure, but not so easy, right?
Preaching to the improv queen and the yes and warrior here. It's all about the listen. If we would just listen better, we would all be better humans. Period. End of story. That's it. So speaking of listen, let's take a listen to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About with Kathy Redwine. Hey, Kathy, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
I am so excited to be on this show. Very exciting.
It's so cool to see you on a Zoom video, because it's been a couple months that you and I have been working together on your podcast, Dealing and Feeling. And it's so cool because you've come so far. You're like such the professional podcaster now.
don't know that it's I would so go that cool. far, but you have certainly trained me well. And, you know, it's been such a fun journey. It's been a whole, it has definitely raised my level of passion, which it was hard for it to raise it more, but like even more so with what I do for a living. I love the whole idea of being able to help people think about things differently, whatever that thought is, but always knowing that there is another way to think about it. And sometimes we get stuck in that myopic, mono way of thinking.
Yeah. And it's so interesting the way the, you know, 6 degrees of somebody, like somehow I was introduced to you by someone else, but Rachel knew you. And then Rachel knows the person that introduced us, but Rachel didn't introduce me to that person. Like the whole like little world of introducing people. So Rachel's worked with you in a different capacity too.
Yeah, I'm super thrilled, Kathy, that you joined us today. And I really love the idea of your podcast. I think that there's so much value that people can gain from listening to anything you have to say. And I formally thank you for helping my family heal itself. When Roxy's dad and I divorced, some kind of stroke of brilliance that I had led me to believe that we ought to get Roxy talking to somebody throughout that so that she could navigate the feelings that she was having. And then we moved into making it a whole family therapy session as we went along. And I really 100% believe that that was instrumental in us moving through that really hard time to where we are now. Like, example, yesterday it was probably an hour long conversation with Roxy's dad where first I about wanted to rip his face off. And then we were like, okay, sorry, you know, he understood why I was mad. Then we talked through the reasons. And then at the end of it, I shared some ideas with him about what he can be doing right now since he's not working. And he was like, you know, I swear, even though we're not together anymore, you're still one of my best friends. And I'm glad we were able to work through that. And I mean, a lot of people that go through divorce cannot get there. They just can't get there because they're not willing to surrender and they're not willing to face hard truths and work through it as a family. Because I knew that if we didn't work with you, Kathy, and thank God you brought us through it the way you did, that Roxy would be the one who suffers. And she's doing great. You know, she's cool.
I am so thrilled that you guys are doing so amazing. And I am just honored. I'm honored and privileged to work with anybody that I get to. Like it, I don't know. I was like, I have chills. It just warms my heart more than anyone could ever know to allow me to be in their intimate space like that and to figure out how they can realize that things can be better. And I applaud you and Tommy and Roxy for, I mean, really kind of taking a deep dive into waters that you had no idea what was in there, but you chose to figure out how to make the best of a difficult situation. I guess my question to you, Rachel, is how do we help more adults see the value of doing a whole family therapeutic counseling in a divorce situation?
Well, my opinion on that would be that it's the best thing for the child. And really, any parent that loves their child, which I would hope is all parents, you want the child to make it through that scenario that's between the parents. It's rarely, I would assume, about the child. It's between the mom and the dad, or the dad and the dad, or the mom and the mom, whatever the scenario. It's between the parents, and they want to be able, it doesn't, if parents don't try to work it out so it's at least civil, then the kid feels it no matter what. And, you know, even still, like Roxy will call me out if I'm saying something she doesn't like about her dad. And then I have to apologize. And that's even the best case scenario. Like, she understands that she understands that her feelings are important. And I think that's a really big deal that we learned with you, Kathy, is that she understood that this is between mommy and daddy, and my feelings are also important. And that she was able to be in a space that felt safe enough for her to be encouraged to share her feelings so that we could understand those a little better too, you know? But I definitely think it can be scary, because when you go into therapy, a lot of times you find out that your thoughts and your opinions are wrong, and you have to face that maybe the way your line of thinking is wrong, and maybe there's a different way to look at it. And I think just when people are mad and blaming one another, they just don't want to do that. They want to be right.
Well, I think ego is so involved in that scenario, right? Because it's about your pain
and fear.
Yeah. Sometimes the scenario is where one person wronged the other, and so the person legitimately, you know, has reason to be mad. Ours was not that kind of scenario necessarily. And so, yeah, ego for sure. Like, I'm right, you're wrong. You're a bitch. You're an asshole, you know. And the kid feels it. I know they do.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're used as a weapon.
Yeah. I mean, and then that destroys that child even more so. You know, I think something that you mentioned about just that the young people's feelings are so vitally important is also so important and timely, like right now with what we're going through with COVID-19. I mean, as parents and as adults and as workers and as just human beings, we're going through so much, but we can't forget about how all of this is impacting our young people. And I think sometimes we, as the adults, I mean, we're so caught up in where's my next paycheck, you know, what's coming down the pike, what bills do I have? I've got to do this whole online school, that we forget that they have emotions about everything that they're going through right now too. And I think just helping parents remember that children have feelings. They might not express them the same way, but theirs are just as important.
You know, I always come back to this same thing, and it's emotional intelligence, right? It's when we have the emotional intelligence as human beings that we can take the time to recognize and pay attention to other people's feelings, especially if children are involved, paying attention to their feelings. I don't know. I'm not a parent. Sometimes I play one on stage, but I'm not a parent. I can only imagine. But they're little people, so you have to pay attention to their emotions just as much as you have to pay attention to anybody else's.
It's empathy. I mean, empathy is at the heart of so much. And if we can help our young people understand what it must be like to be in somebody else's shoes when they're 5, 6, or 7, then maybe they're going to be less likely to bully somebody when they get into, you know, 4th or 5th grade. Maybe they're going to try to understand the world from a different perspective. But we, the adults, have to help them see that the world is not just through the only set of glasses that they're shown at home. There's lots of different lenses that we need to be able to help them see.
You know, we often on this show talk about, we'll make references to kids during different times, whether it's COVID right now, during #MeToo, we would talk about things. We know that there have been a lot of suicides in the area and in the country. I know Rachel has also dealt with when, you know, now you've got gay parents and how that impacts a child and how do you talk about that? And that's really a lot of what your show is tackling, are these difficult conversations for adults to have with kids. And there's so many different things to talk about. I think probably the number one thing we've talked about is, how do we raise kids to be the adults of the future?
Rachel, like, why do you laugh?
I laugh because I'm pretty sure that every parent since the beginning of time has wondered how the hell they're supposed to do that.
Well, and I wonder if some adults just are not even thinking about it, though. You know what I mean? Like, because we do have kids who become bullies and predators and, you know what I mean? In their adult life, something went wrong in their childhood
now, that you're made definitely them assholes. Right. You're right about that. I definitely think, Gina, and I'm sure Kathy can extrapolate on this, but I think we're better at it as parents now. We're thinking more about the kids. Like, I mean, I grew up and my parents were great parents, but they were mostly like, just go outside and play. You know, that's it. And part of that is great because my parents gave me a skill set to figure out my shit on my own and make my mistakes and learn from them. But I think now, you know, and we've had this in an episode before where I sat down with Roxy and have had in-depth conversations about sex and all the pros and all the cons and all the things to be worried about. Nobody ever sat down and talked to me about that stuff, but I want her to be prepared. Like, and what Gina is referring to when she asked me, like, well, how do gay people have sex? Like, I just explained it to her because I would rather she know from me. Let's talk about it. And I think that's a different, don't you think that you've seen that evolve?
Yeah. I mean, so here's my pie in the sky. So when you find out that you're pregnant and you're going to meet with pediatricians, you know, because you meet with them before you decide who your pediatrician is going to be for your new baby, that the pediatrician also talks to you about the importance of identifying a counselor for your child when they get to be around the age of 4 or 5, just like you're going to have a dentist for your child. Because that's where it starts. I mean, if we could help our young people at that age, I mean, I start seeing people as young as 3, and I do something called play therapy with them. So there are ways to do this that is helping young people understand the emotions that they're feeling, different age-appropriate ways to manage those emotions. And then you do it in conjunction with the parent and the family. And then all of a sudden you have this family that's working together about how to deal with a tantrum. As opposed to, well, I'm going to try this way, and then next week I'm going to try that way, which becomes ultimately confusing to the child. And then they're like, I'm going to throw my hands up because I don't know what's going on here. And if I get confused, I get frustrated. So I think it has to start from when they're really young. And, you know, some people probably think, I can't imagine sending my child to a counselor that young, but we do some phenomenally fun things with them. It is not them sitting on a couch. It is play. We build, we draw, we do all kinds of different ways to learn how to express those emotions. I have something in my office called the anger pillow. And I encourage families to draw a big angry face, whatever that face looks like to that young person, draw it on the pillow. And when you get mad next time, you go and hit that pillow. And if we can teach them and reinforce when you get angry, you hit your pillow as opposed to your little sister or your little brother, then that's going to get into their head. I mean, we're all based on structure and routine. I get mad, I go hit the pillow. You know, if I start to gain weight, I go exercise. We have that ability to do that at a really young age, and their brains are like sponges.
I was going to be like, I gain weight. Can I just hit the pillow? Will that?
I think I need an anger pillow. I remember the anger pillow. Well, and the other side of it is like in reflecting back to when I brought Roxy to Kathy the very first time, when I brought Roxy to see Kathy in our divorce, there were no problems yet. It was before we started seeing anything. And so I think what Kathy, you might be getting at is that you don't have to necessarily take your child to see somebody like Kathy if they're already in that uncontrollable scenario. It's like prevention.
Yeah.
A process of being able to control it later. Because like through that, not to say that Roxy didn't have any issues throughout the divorce, but we certainly knew better how to manage it because we started before there was issues.
That so really requires some anticipation.
Well, and I always say I'm in the business of prevention, not reaction. it takes a lot more to respond to a crisis reaction than it does to work with a child, whatever age, for 3 or 4 months, and then we prevent that crisis from ever happening.
Right. So like, take for example, some of these teenagers in our area that have committed suicide. And a lot of times these parents, they just don't see it coming at all. Mm-hmm. So then what if, when you have a child and the child of like 3 or 4, as Kathy mentioned, you start your child in some play therapy just to get a handle on their emotions, so that when they get to, it's a freaking challenging world out there in social media with kids and teens and tweens. What if they had those tools in their toolbox before they faced all that? Like, how different would it look for kids rather than what happened? I mean, he was like kind of depressed and sullen, and then boom, like, you know, I think there's such great value. Gina and I pontificate all the time about the value of therapy. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. We are avid therapy people. I mean, I went back to therapy a year ago because I had something big I was going to have to deal with. And I went before I had to deal with it because I knew I was going to have to deal with it. So how do I prepare myself for it? But that again takes like an awareness of, to be able to do that. And in this situation, and I'm sure you do this, Kathy, it sounds like it's not just about preventing it from happening with kids. It's like adults need some level of play therapy, right? Like, they're not even recognizing their own issues that could contribute to the problems of kids, because like Rachel said, you know, our parents were like, oh, go outside and play, come home when the lights are down, when it gets dark out, and we haven't been given the tools necessarily to do these things, and now we're going to take kids to therapy and think that that's going to solve it. So I just want to be clear, that doesn't 100% solve it, being preventative. Because as adults, we're a little, excuse me, fucked up sometimes.
Excuse me. Why did you say excuse me? Because Kathy, have you ever heard the word fuck before? Like, we're all trying to be nice around Kathy.
I know. It's like I wanted to ask Kathy the question about, does she consider herself a woman your mother warns you about? And I'm like, Kathy is so sweet. And then I was like, well, then that, does that make us not sweet? So, I mean, Kathy knows we say fuck, but here. I want to.
Okay, wait. Hold on a minute. Go, Kathy. Do you consider yourself a woman your mother warned you about? Okay, let's go there.
Yes, and it's interesting because I thought about this, and I thought about it in a different angle. Okay, so I thought about it from the perspective that I, like you, both of you, am incredibly driven. And I think that when I was growing up, it was a little bit more of like, you go to college to get your MRS. And
yes.
I went to college to fulfill my dreams of being a counselor. And so I am a mother, or I am a woman that my mom warned me about, because I'm that go-getter. I'm not necessarily, I mean, when I was in my early 20s, I wasn't so worried about finding the man that I'm going to settle down with and have children. I was more passionate about saving the world. I mean, I had saved the world syndrome so bad. I was like, I'm going to find all the homeless children and bring them to a wonderful family. And then I finally like grew up a little bit and realized I couldn't do all that. But so I think I'm a woman that your mother warned you about in the way of a drive. I mean, I also have this incredibly goofy and, you know, most people know that side of me that's a little off center. And that's the part that I love, that I think is also, I'm not that perfect, poised. No, none of us are. We got to be who we are. So I am a woman that your mother warned you about. And I think that for every woman, it's defined differently.
Yep, exactly. And I love that definition, because I don't think I've heard anyone speak to the driven part and the go-getter part and the goofy part. And you are like incredibly silly and goofy and fun. And even when we were working on the creation of your podcast, it's like dealing and feeling with a little red wine. I'm like, can we go there?
Not with Kim.
Can we go there? With Kathy red wine, that is. I think that's what your intro says.
Yes.
A little red wine. It Kathy is, red wine.
I know. I mean, I was going to name my business Red Wine Therapy, but I work so much with kids that people are like, hey, they're going to think that they're going to a wine bar and they're going to walk in and you're going to be ready to give them therapy. So,
you know, but that could open you up to a huge niche of, you know, I know a lot of moms that, they lean heavily on their red wine to make it through homeschooling probably right now, if you will.
I'm sure. Yes, I know. Gosh,
there are a lot of kids, being taught under those circumstances, I think. Hey, Warners, hope you are enjoying this episode so far. Just wanted to tell you something real quick. If you got something out of this show and want to support it more, check out our new and exciting Patreon page. It's patreon.com/Warners, where you can leave us a tip and help support the show. That would be really cool. So patreon.com/Warners. And now back to the show.
I mean, I've taught myself a lot about video games in the last couple of years, because I am not a fan. However, it is this generation's way of communicating with each other. And so you find balance, you know, and so some of it's taking a look at yourself as the adult or the parent. And if you're fearing having some kind of conversation with your child, maybe it's because it hits something for you that you haven't dealt with or you haven't uncovered.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like TikTok for me. So I have a TikTok account because in the beginning, Roxy got on TikTok and I was like, well, this, if that's how she wants to communicate, I guess I'll get on TikTok. And for a while, especially throughout my my wedding and my honeymoon, that's how I communicated with her and she loved it. It actually brought us closer together because when I was in Paris, I was making TikToks and I knew that she was the only person seeing it, but I knew that she would see it. And she knew that that was just for her because at that time I had no followers and I didn't care. So it was a way that I could get on her level and talk to her. And now we have so much fun with it. We were at Disney at the beginning of the year and we were sitting there waiting for dinner. She and I, my husband, his son couldn't make it. We're sitting there looking at TikTok and there's these women behind us bitching a blue streak about TikTok and their children. And it's the most scary, terrifying place. And they just can't believe that the children, it's such a dangerous place. And I looked at Roxy or I texted Roxy. I was like, should we ask them to film us doing a TikTok together? And she just busted up laughing because it's just a different way to move into the space where your child lives. Like you said, you got to learn about video games because that's where they're at. Roxy, I make a lot of TikToks because I know she's going to see it and she'll come up and be like, that TikTok dance you did was totally wrong. But, you know, it's brought us together rather than trying to, I have this big thing with my husband and his son to encourage him not to become the enemy. His son is 14. So some stuff's coming up. And I'll say, I don't try to tell him how to parent his child, but when he asks me about certain things, I say, the goal is to not be the enemy of your kids. Because a lot of times teenagers in high school, like any adult, becomes the enemy. And for my kid, I don't want to be the enemy. I want to be the person that you can come to and know that no matter what happens, you can talk to me. And that's a hard thing to accomplish, but sometimes you got to just like get down on their level.
That is, well, yeah, you got to get on their level. And if we're not meeting them where they are, whether it's TikTok or video games or whatever, they're going to shut us out. Because in so many ways, they want to share that little bit of their world with us, but eventually they won't. And so we may have to take it for what it is. It might not thrill us, but we gotta do it so that we stay connected. The minute that we stop connecting is,
you know, Kathy, you said, you know, they're not going to share it forever. We share their world with you forever. But imagine if they did, because you created such a safe space that they don't think twice about sharing everything with you because they know they're in a safe space that they can come to do that. And this makes me think about, once again, I talk about this a lot, the improv tenet of making other people look good. And when Rachel is doing TikToks for Roxy to critique, it's really making Roxy look good because it's making her a subject matter expert in TikTok, which who doesn't want to be? Like, we all want our parents to be proud of us no matter what our age is. And so when you come from that mindset, going back to your original question to Rachel too, what can adults do? If you wake up every day in the mindset of, my job is to make my kid look good. My job is to elevate my kid. My job is to put my kid in the spotlight. My job is to make me think about my kid first. Again, not a parent. I like to put that disclaimer out there, but this is being human 101.
I also, I mean, you hit on something that's incredibly important to me. It's helping young people feel pride about who they are. It's my job as a parent, as a counselor, as a woman to help young people feel empowered about who they are. I don't live in your shoes. I don't want you to be just like me. I want to be who you are. I want you to be who you are. Yeah. And so with my kids when they were younger, would say, oh, mommy, look at this. This picture is so pretty. And my response wouldn't be, I'm so proud of you. My response would be, you are so proud of how hard you worked on that painting. And it's interesting because both of my kids tell me all the time about the things that they feel proud of. So it works. You know, my son's old enough now, he's in middle school, that he's had that training long enough, and it makes a difference and it helps to build their confidence.
Yeah, there's great advice in that same mindset book that I mentioned the other day. I found that the discussion on parenting in that book is just invaluable because parents tend to think that you know, utilizing your phrase, Gina, to put your kid in the spotlight and tell them how wonderful and perfect they are. Well, it kind of fucks them up actually, because then they suddenly feel like, oh my God, if I'm not perfect, then you're not going to be proud of me. So there's like a different, like what Kathy is saying, to show them you need to be proud of what you did. I'm going to love you no matter what, because you're my kid, but you know.
Yeah. And when I say put him in the spotlight, I don't mean put him in a spotlight in that realm, because I agree with you. I'm saying put him in the spotlight as far as how they think and what they want matters.
Yeah.
And to put them first over your own mindset and the things that you're trying to accomplish.
Oh, yeah.
It matters. Cause I think about, you know, reflecting back, and I'm sure, Rachel, you have stories on these too. I mean, people could just read your book and pick up on it. I think about when I would say to my mom, I remember distinctly at the age of 7, watching the Dinah Shore show, if anybody remembers that, saying to my mom, I'm like, I'm going to be an actress. And I remember the bold declaration. And my mother's response was, no, you can't do that. And I never forgot it.
Wow. And had your mom responded in a way of, well, what would that be? How would you do that? Do you think that it would have led you to think about things differently? Or did it change?
Absolutely. And well, you know, the positive that came out of that in some ways was that because my relationship with my mother was so tumultuous, and I think a lot of it was because she was an alcoholic when I was a kid and I didn't know it, I got an opportunity when I was 9 to audition for a TV show. And I went to audition and my mom had to take me there. And so I was like, I kept pushing the agenda. I didn't give up on the agenda because I'm a woman your mother warned you about. I'm a woman my mother clearly warned everybody about. But I pushed my agenda and went through that audition, got cast, and then the show was canceled. And later, as a kid at that point, at 9, I was like, Well, my friend that also auditioned has an agent, and she said if we like try to get me an agent, and I kept pushing the agenda, she wouldn't go for it. Why? Because it was going to be an inconvenience to her to have to go through that. But I never really gave up on being a performer, right? I found other ways to do it. I didn't let it deter me. And maybe that's because the other parent, being my father, was always encouraging. You can have anything you want. You can be anything you want.
You hit on such communication is where it's all at. And if we figure out how to effectively communicate with our spouse, our significant other, our children, a lot of things fall into place. We just have to learn the basic art of hearing, listening, and talking effectively and in ways that are kind, not saying things that are going to put people in a negative headspace. Society does mm-hmm. that for us enough. We don't have to have other people tell us those things.
Well, let's talk a little bit about confidence, because you touched on that of creating confidence in kids. The thing that's always on my mind, and Rachel and I talk about this, is how do we create that confidence, especially in little girls, so that as they become women, they do go after saving the world, mm-hmm. as big of a dream as it is. They do ask for what they're worth in business. They do ask for the raise. They do stand in the value. They do try to get to the C-suite. Do you think that where we are as women in business may be impacted by how we were raised as children?
Definitely. I mean, I think nature and nurture play such an important role into all of it. I think, they always say that it takes one person to make an impact, to change somebody's world, to help them see that they can be and do anything that they want to be. Sometimes that person might not come into your world until you're a little bit older. And sometimes that person might be your mom or your dad. But it's remembering that if you stay true to who you are, confidence comes from understanding yourself. I've shared with you that I've wanted to be a counselor since I was in sixth grade. Like, I just had this, I don't know, I just knew that I wanted to do something that was helping people. And of course, back then, I didn't know that counseling was it, because counselors didn't really exist unless your child had ADD and you took them to someone to get Ritalin or whatever else it was that they gave them then. And it was, you've just got to listen to your heart, listen to who you are. And so maybe trying not to let some of the negative messages that exist in media, social media, society dictate what you feel about you. It's so important to just encourage your child to be who they are. They're going to have to explore things that you're not going to agree with. They're going to go through phases that might scare you. But as long as you're communicating and you're open and you're developing a healthy relationship with them, they're going to come through that A-OK.
Hey, everybody, the greatest gift that you can give to someone is something that's intangible and free. So the greatest gift you can give us is to give someone you care about the gift of our podcast, somebody that might need to listen to our podcast to get some of the awesome knowledge that you got from us or one of our fantastic guests. So share the love today, post on social media, or just send an email with a link to our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. Now back to the show. Yeah, Roxy and I had this really interesting conversation. When she grows up, she'll just die listening to these podcasts where I talk about her. But so she is the child of two very talented people. Her father is an incredibly talented musician. Her mommy is, a performer, dancer, singer, all these things. So and Gina was the one that pointed it out to me that, she might actually just feel really pressured because we're just talented people. So she came out of dance class. She's taking some dance classes. And she came out of her dance class one night recently in tears. She was so upset. And I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, I'm just not as good as this other girl. And I said, Roxy, that little girl takes like 10 hours of dance a week. Since she's 3 years old, her mom's a dancer, her dad's a dancer, they're both professionals, her grandmother's a dancer. That kid only cares about doing that. And I said, do you, Roxy, do you want to grow up and be a professional dancer? And she said, no. And I said, great. So then this, you shouldn't compare yourself to that other little girl because her agenda is different than yours. I said, what's your favorite thing to do? She said, well, I love to draw. And I said, and I bet you that other little girl doesn't draw as well as you do because you spend 10 hours a week working on art. She spends 10 hours a week working on dance and you spend 1 hour a week working on dance. So that is something she works on more. And I said, just let dance be something that's fun. You don't have to be the best. You can just have fun with it and then work on what makes you, you. Like you said, Kathy, like she wants to grow up at this point. That always changes, you know, with kids. She wants to grow up and be an artist. And I'm like, if that's what you want to do, then don't compare yourself. That's like a bird comparing themselves to a lion. Like they're totally different skill set. And but kids today, they just, there's so much pressure.
How interesting that, you know, I know as women, we have a tendency to always be in this comparison mode. Always comparing what other people are doing, always comparing other people's businesses, social media, you know, setting us up based on how great of a life someone is living. And I'm curious, like, when does the compare thing really start? At what age? When you're a kid and you're already comparing yourself to others.
Way too young. I mean, it really, you know, and then you've got to look at all of the different angles that kids compare themselves to at younger ages, whether it's, you know, it's diversity socioeconomically, racially, gender, athletics. I mean, you know, they're looking at, well, I want to be like them. What was that? What was the cereal? I want to be like Mike.
I want to be like my life cereal.
Right. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, no, I don't want you to be like anybody. I want you to be like you. And, you know, sometimes I will have kids write down their name and then they have to come up with an adjective that describes each letter of who they are. So like,
oh,
A,
cool.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another great way for them to kind of uncover, oh, you know what? Yeah, I am artistic. And when they come up with those, then that builds that self-confidence. Then that begins to be a doorway for a conversation with that parent and that child about how they selected those words and where they came from. I also think that it helps us take a leap of faith when we get a little bit older. If you've got that confidence built into you when you're younger, and like you say with Roxy, she may decide that she wants to be a dancer when she gets older. But because you've given her the space to feel confident in her art skills now, she's going to feel like when she gets older, hey, you know what? I mean, I can do that if I want to. I just have to work hard, take classes. You know, nothing's going to come easy. Nothing's going to come overnight. It all takes work. So I think sometimes, you know, you look at successful athletes and then the transition that they make to post-athlete, those that are confident, not only as an athlete, but as an individual, are the ones that find success post-athletic career because they have an ability to take a leap of faith into a realm that they might not be as comfortable in.
Yeah, there's so much there. Let's talk for a second about the gender thing, because I know when I was a kid, we didn't have any, we didn't have to decide what gender we identified with. And I speak about this because Roxy's in that age right now where these kids are exploring that, and they are aware of the opportunity to choose what gender they identify as. There's terminology that when Roxy brought it up to me, I had to go look it up. And it's just a totally different world. I choose to completely embrace it because I think that at this age, they're trying to discover who they are. So I just am like, whatever you want to, let's just ask me questions and let's look, how can I support you? But what are you seeing in that, and how can parents deal with that, especially if a child comes and decides they identify as something that the parent, that takes the parent off guard?
I think, really, Rachel, exactly what you said. It's how do we embrace what our young person is going through? And we have the advantage of experience. We've been there. We've done that. We did that exploration. So you'll be okay. You'll get through it. But that's not where that kid is. That kid is so confused and conflicted. And I don't know, am I supposed to do this? Or I hear that I should be doing these things. So we've got to embrace, this goes back to having that listening ear as a parent or as an adult in a child's life. Listen to what they have to say. It's scary. I totally remember being scared to ask the question or scared to even talk to anybody because then I thought people were going to think that I was weird. And I definitely didn't feel like I could talk to my mom or my dad about it. My brother was so much older than me. And then if kids are feeling frightened by not having someone to talk to, who are they going to go talk to? And so for a parent, or what are they going to go and do? Numb themselves so that they are not having to think about the thoughts that might be confusing to them. I know tons of kids go through questioning. They go through wondering, well, am I this? Am I that? That's totally normal. Most people, if they would own it and admit it, have gone through that phase where they're questioning their orientation, or, are they more like a tomboy, or are they more this, there's nothing wrong with that. So exactly what you said, Rachel, if we can embrace it, then I think that it helps a lot in terms of educating ourselves as adults in young people's lives about what they are going through. And we hear it from their perspective. There's a show out called I Am Jazz, or either one familiar with it. Yeah. It's such a wonderful education because this little girl felt like she was, born a boy. Yeah. Felt like she was a little girl from the time that she was like 3 or 4. And you see these videos and footage of her, and you would think she's a girl. And the parents completely embraced it and helped her along this journey. And, I think it's a wonderful opportunity to educate yourself as an adult about what transgender may feel like to a young person going through all of that. So if we can go and educate ourselves as the adults or the parents in a kid's life, then we're going to feel more comfortable to have those conversations with them, with our young people. They're going to feel more at ease because, okay, my parents not like losing their crap and screaming all these things. They're going to understand that this is something real that I am going through and I'm trying to figure out, and I need your support. I don't need you to scream and yell at me because that's going to shut me down and shut you out. And then I'm going to turn to all kinds of things that you don't want me to turn to.
Yeah. And you got to hope that those parents are going to be evolved enough. This happened a few days ago. I was talking to an acquaintance, a friend, not like a best friend, but I was hanging out with her, and I forget how old her daughter is, 12 or 13. And I said, somehow she brought up, being into boys or something like that. Somehow that came up that she's not quite there yet. Yeah, she's really not. She hasn't been into boys. I'm a little concerned. And I said, I guess I was thrown off because of where we are in the world today. I was like, well, what are you concerned about? Well, what if she's gay? And I was like, and would that be a problem for you? I was trying not to judge her. I said, well, what would be the challenge there? And she said, well, I want to be a grandmother. And I was like, wow. Okay. Combination of ignorance and selfishness all together. I said, you can still be a grandmother if she's gay. She could actually have a baby. It's possible. She's like, oh, okay. I haven't really thought about it like that.
Interesting.
I think that also speaks to a lot of issues that we as adults have not talking to our kids about certain things because it's so triggering for us in one way or another. So we just avoid that subject matter. We just kind of shelve it. I think that people don't really realize that a lot of panic attacks and anxiety attacks come from all the things that we shelve in ourselves, comes from all the stuff that we shove down into our toes and think, oh, I'll put it down there. It's all good. I don't have to worry about it.
I'm fine.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. When people say they're fine, I'm like, so really, what does fine look like to you? Oh, it looks like I went and got my nails done and I went and had my, you know, it's living in an alternate universe and not one that is grounded in reality. We have to ask ourselves the difficult questions, and it can still be fun and happy. Like it does. I think sometimes people also fear maybe even going to counseling that they think that they will uncover too many things that they're not going to be able to recover from. And that's not the case. I mean, our job as a counselor is to help you safely explore things about yourself that are going to help you become a better person. I'm not going to take you down a path that is going to make you want to go, I mean, hopefully not, do anything negative. Hopefully these are going to be questions that you've really asked yourself before and that you want to explore in the environment with someone that is safe, someone that you can trust, someone that you know is not going to share anything that you're talking about with anybody else.
Totally. It is. If you find a therapist you like, and Kathy is a great one, it should be a place where, I remember a session of therapy. It was the worst thing from my past that I thought I would take to the grave. I was never telling anybody ever. And finally, I told my therapist, and she was like, I guess you did what you had to do at the time. And I was like, it was like the most terrifying moment of my life. But then the minute I let it go, it was done. And it was just super awesome. So, you know, if anybody out there, this is totally aside from what we were talking about, but if you're thinking about going to therapy and you're worried about what you might find, be more excited about what you might find. And that's that peace. Ooh. and letting go of some of the stuff.
I was just going to say, be more excited about what you're going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not what you find.
Even better.
Right? It's like, let's find it. Now let's get rid of it.
Let it go. Mm-hmm.
Telling you, let it go. She had it. Yep.
There's so much depth to Elsa. I'm telling you.
I know.
Hey, so Kathy, it's been so much fun having you, but we've got a couple of signature questions we like to ask all our guests. So first one is, how do you define the word sexy?
Confident. Just everything that confident exudes. Confident is being proud, feeling empowered, understanding self, interested in learning, just confident. I find that
Love it.
So sexy.
Totally. What's the best advice you've ever been given, either from a man or from a woman or from a kid? Hey.
Oh, goodness. Oh, there's so many.
Start a podcast now.
Yes, exactly. You know, I don't necessarily know if it's advice or there's something that I love so much about the innocence of children, and that they see the world in such a different way. So I'm not sure, again, if this is advice or not, but I'm going to share this quick little story about my son, and I'm sure he's going to love that I'm going to share it. But so I was doing play therapy with him shortly after my daughter was born, and we had a whole lot of stuff going on. My dad had just passed away, and my sister-in-law was not doing well with cancer, and I was worried about my son and the attention because there were so many things going on. So I was doing play with him, and he, in my little playroom, he goes over and I have handcuffs and knives and, you know, all things that children may see. And he picks up the handcuffs and then he grabs the baby doll and he puts the baby doll and he puts the handcuffs around the baby doll's neck. And I'm like, oh my God, my son wants to kill his newborn sister. And so I just said, okay, so you don't label things in play. You allow the child to label them for you. So he says, well, I'm putting this there and I'm putting these around this. And I said, okay. And he says, yes, Mom, these are called grabbers. They're used to pick up things that are heavy. He was three. He couldn't hold his baby sister. He couldn't pick her up. It was so eye-opening to me. I was like, oh my gosh. And he didn't think anything of what I was thinking. But it was that beautiful innocence of looking at the world through their eyes. They're not thinking about picking up a gun and killing somebody. They're thinking about picking them up to play with it. He's thinking about handcuffs. He didn't know what a handcuff was. So that is probably the best advice that I got. And it was from a three-year-old. It's just
never assume.
Never.
That is an awesome. That's an awesome story.
That is a good story. Wow. So last question. What advice do you wish you had been given?
Probably going back to just being a driven girl, that it's perfectly okay to be driven, to not follow the stereotype of go to college, find a husband, get married, have children, but just follow your dreams and be who you are, because when you do that, everything else just falls into place.
Mic drop.
I was so fun having you on the show. Thank you for doing that today. And if people want to learn more about you and your podcast, where should they go to learn more about Kathy Redwine and Dealing and Feeling?
Yeah, come and listen. It's going to be so much fun, and it's getting more fun by the week. That's for sure. I'm kind of getting over a little bit of my nerves, although I still have them. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram page, dealingandfeeling.com. We'll take you, Gina, it'll take you to the Facebook page. Will it take you to Instagram?
Yes. Yeah. Dealingandfeeling.com brings you to the Facebook page.
Okay. And then we have Dealing and Feeling Instagram page. And then I am obviously a therapist. So if anyone is in need of counseling services, I see adults, I see couples, I work with young people, obviously. I can be found on Psychology Today, and that's under just Kathy Redwine. And I have a bio on there, and it tells you a little bit more about me. And I think that's it.
Gosh, you have to be a fun counselor. If my counselor ever leaves me, well, you already counsel me. I love that you already counsel me. So thanks for that. It's like extra free therapy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of somebody did ask me that one time. They said, how do you do what you do? And always with like a smile and laugh. And I said, because my office to me is where hope begins.
Oh, That's beautiful.
It is though, you know, and if everybody can walk through those doors and know that I am there to just help them along on their journey and to be there as a support system, and that I truly believe that this is where we begin to have hope and hopefully help things get a little bit better.
Well, go over to dealingandfeeling.com, Warners, and get a little hope. Pour yourself some red wine. Pour yourself a glass of red wine to spend some time with red wine to get some hope. Thanks again, Kathy. Thank you to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To connect with me directly or learn more about Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv, you can find me on womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com or at ginatremarco.com. And for Rachel, where should they go?
You can find me all over social media as The Singing Lender and also thesinginglender.com. You can find all of our social media links as well as some cool free downloads and contact information for our favorite third-party guy, Mr. Keith Walters. It's all at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Yeah, we cannot forget that guy, Keith. That's what Keith said. If you love our show, show the love and share it with a friend, colleague, or client. Spread the word. Of course, we love ratings and reviews. You can do that too. Keep on keeping it sexy, Warners. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.